Well, good morning. This is Hilltop Church Online. Pastor Steve Green speaking. I'm here at the church, but you're not because of this entire pandemic concern. But I'm glad that you found us, that you've looked us up online, found hilltopchurch.ca, found the sermon tab, called up this sermon for today. Today, Sunday, April the 19th. We've just come through the strangest Easter weekend any of us has experienced. A holiday weekend of quarantine, social distancing, and self-isolation during normal times, and that's normal in quotations because we all know that normal's merely a setting on your dryer. But in normal times, we'd be joining with families on the holiday weekend. We'd be showing off new spring clothing. We'd be attending Sunday church services, watching children follow jelly bean trails to Easter candy, and then gathering and overeating on ham, turkey, yams baked in butter and brown sugar, mashed potatoes and pie. Oh, please tell me you had pie. There's got to be pie. All gathered around dining room tables. Instead, many were separated from family. Didn't change out of their pajamas all day, grazed nonstop on junk food, lay on the couch in front of a sportless TV, or played their 239th game of Yahtzee at the dining room table. Strange. Strange days. For many people, this whole novel coronavirus pandemic, the way it's caused illness, death, disrupted society, business, industry, entertainment and sport, daily life, it all seems to be the harbinger of the end, and that's the end in capital bold-faced type. I spoke with a man 2 weeks ago in a parking lot. Yes, don't be concerned, we kept the appropriate social distance. And he made a statement that stopped me in my tracks. It's run over and over in my mind. He said, doesn't this all seem like Book of Revelation stuff? The end of the world. It's close, right? Now, in our limited acquaintance, we had not discussed our faith experience or our religious upbringing, nor our church affiliation. And yet, here in a parking lot along Highway 41 in Renfrew County, Ontario, Canada, he's asking me, he's asking a question, he's referencing the Bible. People are thinking about and questioning these days we're living through because they are strange days. Brings back to my mind a song from the radio. I know, for those of you who know me, big surprise. There's always some music playing around in my head. And for this piece of music, you might need to take a trip in the Wayback Machine. Someone will get that reference. You see, there was a 60s cartoon on TV called The Rocky and Bullwinkle Show, and amongst other characters, it featured Sherman and Mr. Peabody and the Wayback Machine. Now, the Wayback Machine was invented by Mr. Peabody. He was a genius, don't you know, a bow-tie-wearing beagle. And it was developed as a birthday gift for his adopted pet boy, Sherman. It was a time machine through which we would instantly be transported to a place of historical importance. Let's you and I today, we'll set the machine for 1987, shall we? Did you punch in the numbers? 1987. Are you there? Can you remember? Were you even born? In 1987, a song debuted by the alternative rock band REM. The title of the song was, listen for it, It's the End of the World as We Know It. Wow. Wow. It's the end of the world as we know it. Now, personally, I prefer the cover version from 10 years later, 1997, by the Newfie band Great Big Sea. The refrain that recurs throughout the song is, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. Let me tell you, people are not feeling fine throughout these strange days. There's another tune rattling around in my head from 1987. It goes over and over frequently lately. It's by the band U2. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You can search YouTube for these songs and you'll find a list of recent comments with people referencing COVID-19, with referencing virus, end of the world, year 2020. People are wondering, is this the end of the world as we know it? These songs seem quite apropos. People are looking for answers, trying to make sense out of these days, these strange days. You know, many people spend their lives looking, searching, and seeking for answers. Not just the ones that pop up on Facebook these days. What's your favorite quarantine snack? Or which shade of lipstick is your favorite? No, not that type of question. But heavier, weightier questions of life are forming in their minds. What is going on? Is this the end? Let's step back into the Wayback Machine. We've dialed in the date, we've pulled back the lever, and as the machine ceases its vibrations, the door swings up and open, and we're in, well, it looks like the Middle East. Actually, we're in Israel. We're just outside the city of Jerusalem in a garden that sits just a few yards away from Golgotha, the place where Jesus was crucified. In my devotional reading this week, I came across the following scripture passage and some of these thoughts. So join me and take your Bible, your tablet, your smartphone, whatever you've got, and turn with me to our text. It's found in the Gospel of St. John. It's chapter 20, and the entire passage reads from verses 1 through 16. I'm going to be reading from the Message version of the Bible. Verse 1 starts, "Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, saw that the stone was rolled away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, breathlessly panting. They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." Verse 3, "Peter and the other disciple immediately left for the tomb. They ran neck and neck. The other disciple got to the tomb first, outrunning Peter. Stooping to look in, he saw the pieces of linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Simon Peter arrived after him, entered the tomb, observed the linen cloths lying there, and the kerchief used to cover his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but separate, neatly folded by itself. And then the other disciple, the one who had gotten there first, went into the tomb, took one look at the evidence, and believed." You could underline that. That's significant. "No one yet knew from the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The disciples then went back home." Now, I really want to focus on these next couple of verse passages. Verse 11, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, 'Woman, why do you weep?' 'They took my master,' she said, 'and I don't know where they put him.' And after she said this, she turned away, saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, 'Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?' She, thinking he was the gardener, said, 'Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him.'" Verse 16, Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. My sermon title for today is, "Who are you looking for?" Who are you looking for? We've just read that as Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb weeping, she was asked questions by Jesus and she doesn't recognize him. The scripture says she was crying. Actually, in the original language, the word means wailing. It's that loud expression of grief. It's just not a few shed tears. It's from the depths of her spirit. She's wailing in grief. And verse 14 said she didn't realize that it was Jesus. There are a number of times following that the risen Jesus was not recognized. He may have looked different, or he may have intentionally prevented their recognition. Mary didn't recognize Jesus at first. Her grief had blinded her. She couldn't see him because she didn't expect to see him. She didn't see him, blinded by her tears. Didn't see him, she'd turned back to the tomb. And then he spoke her name. And immediately, she recognized him. Imagine the love that flooded her heart, that welled up within her, when she heard her Savior, her friend, her teacher, saying her name, Mary. She responds with Rabboni. It's a strengthened form of rabbi. The word means my teacher. There's a concept here when you read through that passage. It speaks of seeing. When John wrote the account, he used three different Greek words for seeing. When they get to the tomb, in verse 5, the verb means simply to glance in, to look in. In John 20, verse 6, the word means to look carefully, to observe. But in verse 8, the word saw means to perceive with intelligent perception. Their resurrection faith is now dawning. It's dawning on them what's transpired here. The question that Jesus asked is interesting because it's a subtle question. The fact that Mary wasn't looking for a who, but a what. She's looking for a corpse. But the subtlety of the question contains an answer in it. Mary returns to the tomb for a second time and meets Jesus. And he asks a question. He asks, who are you looking for? Not what are you looking for? Not a body, not a corpse, not a what, but a risen who. People are looking and searching. Some of us may be seeking for a what. Many are looking for answers today, looking for love, looking for contentment, for meaning, for purpose, happiness, fame, fortune. All of these things are valid things to be looking for. But the real question comes down to this. Are you looking for Jesus? A prerequisite to finding is seeking. The Bible tells us that in many instances. Back in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, remember I'm reading from the Message version today. It reads, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. Boy, I find hope in that passage. I like it. We don't somehow casually discover Jesus suddenly or accidentally. We have to seek him. Normally, there's a process in which we begin to discover a hunger and an appetite, a seeking and a searching. Now, it cannot happen just any time because the prophet Isaiah said, seek God while he is here to be found. Pray to him while he's close at hand. There's a time, says Isaiah, when he, God, may be found. And there's a time when he's near. And it may be at this very moment that the Lord Jesus is speaking to us. Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb weeping. And Jesus calls her by name, Mary. Boy, I like that. I like that personal touch. I like that Jesus moves from the term woman to the personal, Mary. He calls us by name. The songwriter put it this way, he knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and he hears me when I call. Lots of people spend their lives looking, searching, and seeking. I'm convinced we need to stop seeking and searching and realize it's not a what, but a who that we're looking for. The Lord Jesus Christ. Mary couldn't find Jesus. She looked in the tomb. She checked with the disciples. And by the time she turns to the man who she supposed was the gardener, she's in tears. She's heartbroken. She's near frantic. Where is Jesus? Perhaps you've asked the same question. Perhaps you went to church, tried to be good, believed Jesus was real, but you've longed for something more, to experience Jesus right there with you. Maybe you've posed the question, where is Jesus? You know, even people who are committed to Jesus sometimes long for a more powerful sense of his presence, especially in times like this. Times of crisis, times of loneliness, times of sickness, times of grief. Maybe you're just learning about Jesus and aren't quite sure what to think about his death, resurrection, or how to have a relationship with someone in heaven. Sometimes we can understand some of Mary's desperation and learn from her. Mary didn't give up. After the two disciples left, she stayed. And Jesus came. Jesus is near to you today. And he's calling your name. Can you, like Mary, accept him as Lord? Not a what, but a who. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, forgive us for chasing after the things of this world that we think will satisfy our lives, when all along it's you that our hearts are seeking after. Thank you, Lord, that you're close to us, calling us by name, and that we can have a personal relationship with you. Maybe you're sitting at home right now and you're saying, well, that's all fine and good, Steve, but I don't have a personal relationship with God, with Jesus, what you've been talking about and referencing here. You know you can have that relationship. Remember he said, if you're looking for me, you won't be disappointed. Are you looking for Jesus, or are you just looking for something, for what in this life that'll satisfy? Maybe you're blinded by the things of the world around you. The strange days and the crisis that we're in. Maybe you're blinded by grief. Mary was destroyed. She was a mess. Jesus was gone to her way of thinking. And she's looking for a what? A body. Did you know that what we're really looking for is a who? And that who is Jesus Christ. So for the emptiness, for the loneliness, for the satisfaction, for the joy, for the peace, for the love, for the things that your heart craves, it's not what that you're looking for, it's who. It's Jesus Christ. Can I lead you in a short prayer? I'll read a few words, and you echo them after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you were sincere and prayed that prayer, we believe you are what the Bible calls born again, not physically, but spiritually, born into a new life. And it's not a what, it's with whom? It's with Jesus. You've started a personal relationship with Jesus. If you prayed that prayer today, I'd be thrilled if you sent an email to me, pastor@hilltopchurch.ca, or if you left some comments on our Facebook page, Hilltop Tabernacle Church. Let me know if you prayed that prayer. I'd be happy to talk with you, answer some questions, text back and forth, share some emails. I'd be thrilled to. Well, we've come to our close. I am hoping that you will join us again right here next Sunday for Hilltop Church Online. My prayer for you this week would be that God would bless you, that He would keep you and your family safe and healthy this week, and that He'd guide you through these strange days. This has been Pastor Steve Green, and I'm out.